Blog Talk Radio.
We live.
We're live.
Live from Chicago and Las Vegas. You're tuned in to the show that's always on top of what's trending. It's Page One.
It's Page One.
With LeVar and Mary.
With LeVar and Mary.
Hello, once again, Block Talk Radio Nation. You are tuned into another edition of Page One with LeVar Mary for this Friday night. Good Friday, the start of Easter weekend. It is March 29th, 2024. So happy that you could join us tonight. We have a lot of things to cover here on the program tonight. This is a busy weekend if you are a listener of the shows on this channel. Tonight is Page One. Hope that you could join us Sunday night for a brand new edition of the 411 Lounge, and I will mention it a few times here before the end of this evening. The lovely Dan Dangler will be on the show. If you are not familiar with Dan Dangler, I'll talk about that in a little bit, because I know I have with me a couple of people who are familiar with Twitch. So hopefully some of the things I say about her will be familiar, but I welcome in, I guess I call it the intrepid reporters who are on the road tonight.
yes, who are we are mobile.
Who are mobile. Is it mobile or mobile?
Yes.
Both.
And I welcome you two kids aboard. How are you?
I am wonderful. Chris?
Fantastic.
Yes. And Chris got here just in time for the, well, I don't think the weather is that much different from where you came from. Is it a little bit different, or is it colder, or is it warmer?
It's a lot warmer than where I was.
Oh, okay. Well, that's actually, well, it's not summertime.
20 degrees.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not summertime yet, so you don't have to sit through 100-degree temperatures, which is also the other good thing.
Oh, no.
Well, I am happy that you kids are okay. I'm happy that you're here tonight. Ahead of the program tonight, we're going to expand within this first half hour, because normally I will do the most interesting thing I've read. There were so many things that's happened in the last few days, one in which is political. We barely, if ever, go into political things on this show, but it was so interesting, I felt that I had to share it tonight. So the first half hour, we're going to do a few of those. We'll have the almanac. We will have the retro moment of the week. We've got some topics tonight. We also have, and I know that Chris is going to love this, we also have After Dark tonight. So we will have that. We will have a little bit of potpourri for you. And then on top of that, on top of all that, we have some Smoking Gun Files tonight. So we will cover the gambit here. And I hear silence. You kids still with me? And I hear nothing. I think that we probably lost him. So here's the deal. That could happen throughout the night. We could lose them. Because of where they are traveling through, there are going to be quite a few different things that's happening. So at different points, I will lose them. I will bring them back. Hopefully they will stick around, but I know that I can ad-lib the show if need be. Wherever they're at, they will probably tune back in here in just a second. But while we are waiting for that, while we're waiting to see if we can get them reconnected, I will tell you, Sunday night on the 411 Lounge, Dan Dangler will be joining me. And one of the things about Dan is that it's not a guy. So if you are familiar with the wonderful world of Twitch, Dan Dangler is one of the people who pretty much she started off with she got her start pretty much as a Twitch streamer. She eventually decided to give OnlyFans a try, and pretty much she is successful at both. If you see Dan Dangler, you know why. She 0.01% on OnlyFans. She's worked with all the heavy hitters within the OnlyFans and adult industry. And her streams have over 600,000 followers. And pretty much one of the things that I was reading here in her bio is that she started an AI chatting platform. So where that goes and what you'll see is that she is breaking into the world of AI where a few have gone before. So we'll see what kind of happens with that. I'm interested in finding out a little bit more about that. I will hope that I can get Mary and Chris back on because one of the things that she was also a part of on Twitch was that she was the world's first female captain of the World Series of Warzone. So a lot to be said there, more than what I could probably ever accomplish and or do online, but she definitely has done it, and so she will be joining us Sunday night. I hope that all of you can join me that show on Sunday night. I know you're like, when does the show start? That show starts at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Central. So on Easter night, Dan Dangler will join me on the program. Still waiting for Mary and Chris. I don't know what type of show this is going to be tonight. A part of this could be just me. But, and I don't really want to, like, give away all of the stories here. So what I will do is we'll pretty much kind of go into, before I go into the most interesting thing, like I said, today is March 29th. We are at the end of the month, and I know that last we met, we pretty much kind of covered quite a bit of the monthly things that were happening. There's only pretty much 3 days left. So pretty much as it goes, when it goes as far as the almanac, March here, today, Friday, as I said, it is National Pizza Day. It's Good Friday for those of you who celebrate Good Friday. It's National Nevada Day. It's also National Vietnam War Veterans Day. It's National Lemon Chiffon Cake Day. It's National Mom and Pop Business Owners Day. National Virtual Vacation Day is tomorrow, as well as National Turkey Neck Soup Day. I'm not sure if any of you are fans of turkey neck soup. Also, National Pencil Day is coming up on the 30th, National Doctor's Day, National I Am in Control Day, National Take a Walk in the Park Day, National Crayon Day is on Sunday, National Prom Day, Easter, National Clams on the Half Shell Day, National Bunsen Burner Day, and National Tater Day is on the 31st. So you got quite a few things. And then as you head into the month of April, April brings us quite a few days, weeks, national months. We'll start that pretty much with it is Administrative Professionals Week, the last full week of April. National Princess Week is the last full week of April. National Window Safety Week, Public Health Week, Music Therapy Week, Student Employment Week, Pan American Week. It is also National Pet ID Week, National Coin Week, the Gathering of Nations, Preservation Week. It is National Infant Immunization Week, Oral Head and Neck Cancer Week. I know a few people who are survivors. Work Zone Awareness Week is also around that time. Crime Victims Rights Week, and National Pooper Scooper Week, Library Week, and Volunteer Week. So there's a lot of different weeks. And then pickleball month is in about the April afternoon tea month, which I don't know if Chris would be aware of that. It's coming up. It is also Esophageal Cancer Awareness Month in the month of April. And so it covers quite a bit at that. Sarcoidosis Awareness Month, Financial Literacy Month, Alcohol Awareness Month, Parkinson's Awareness Month, English Language Month, National Month of Hope, Volunteer Month, Scottish American Heritage Month. All of those things coming up in the month of April. Kind of holding on to see if they're actually tuning in, but not quite yet. Also in the month of April 1st, Monday, it brings us National Tomfooleries Day, National IEP Writing Day. It is Take Down Tobacco National Day of Action, National Sourdough Bread Day, National 1 Cent Day, April Fool's Day. And on the 2nd, it's National DIY Day. It is National Ferret Day on April 2nd, National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day, National Reconciliation Day on the 2nd. On the 3rd, we have National Film Score Day, and then National Find a Rainbow Day. Child Help National Day of Hope is on the first Wednesday. National Chocolate Mousse Day is coming up on April 3rd. And then on National Tweed Day is also another day that's coming along there. National Walking Day is the first Wednesday in April. And then on the 4th, it's National Vitamin C Day. National Burrito Day, it's Jeep 4x4 Day, Chicken Cordon Bleu Day, National School Librarian Day, Hug a News Person Day, Walk Around Things Day, and then next Friday, the 5th, it is Gold Star Spouses Day, First Contact Day, National Flash Drive Day, National Nebraska Day, National Deep Dish Pizza Day, National Read a Roadmap Day, Raisin Spice Bar Day, Caramel Day, National Go for Broke Day. So there are a lot of different things that you have coming up. There is no reason not to celebrate at least a few of them, so that is there as well. So I wanted to kind of go into the most interesting thing that I read this week. There's quite a bit. More than ever, we try not to get too political on this show, but there were just a couple of stories this week where I felt that I kind of had to share only because it was so interesting. And I think we've got contact now back with Mary and Chris. You made it out of the mountains?
Yeah, we made it out of the mountains. I mean, we're still in the mountains, but we made it out of the mountains.
Yay.
You should have said how many times I've called. You're like, come on, give me a bar, give me a bar, give me a bar.
You got a bar. So we went through the almanac, got all of that done. Among the highlights that we had on the almanac, we mentioned that April 5th is National Deep Dish Pizza Day. It's also National Read a Roadmap Day. National Burrito Day is the first Thursday in April. Then we also talked about April 3rd is National Tweed Day. And it's also, tweed. April 2nd is National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. The 2nd is also National Ferret Day, which is funny because we just mentioned that. The other days rounding out the month of March, which we mentioned was the 31st is National Bunsen Burner Day. National Crayon Day is March 31st. Pencil Day is the 30th. Turkey Neck Soup Day, so I hope you don't miss that. Today is National PETA Day. So, yeah.
Hey, it's the pocket PETA.
Yeah. Yep. So you won't miss that. So, no, those are a few of the things. We got a lot of different months coming up, but that was the bulk of the almanac. So we've got all of that covered. But now I was going to the most interesting thing that I read this week, and I was kind of giving a heads up because we normally don't get too political on this program, but I kind of felt the two strangest stories that came out this week were some of the most interesting things I've read. I actually have a few more, but the first story depends on which side of the fence that you are on, because one involves the president of the United States, and then one involves the former president of the United States. But I'm going to start first with the current occupant of the White House, where the Biden administration this week is seeking exemptions to antitrust laws that would make it easier to repair ice cream machines at McDonald's and other chain restaurants. McDonald's has become the butt of many internet jokes we know regarding the frequent inoperability of its ice cream machines. Currently, only technicians certified by the machine manufacturers are allowed to repair the machines pursuant to the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. The Federal Trade Commission and the Department of Justice's Antitrust Division wrote a letter to the U.S. Copyright Office this past week calling for DMCA exemptions for, quote, commercial soft serve machines used at McDonald's and other restaurants. And in the agency's view, renewing and expanding repair-related exemptions will promote competition in markets for replacement parts, repair and maintenance services, as well as facilitate competition in markets for repairable products. Because broken machines cost the restaurant $600 in daily losses. A licensed repair technician charges over $300 per 15 minutes. And the FTC has been flooded with complaints from consumers and franchise owners citing lengthy wait times for approved licensed repairs on ice cream machines were, that it was costing them money. So hopefully the bill or the exemptions will happen and ice cream machines could be fixed quicker than before.
It only loses them $600. That's baloney.
That's what they say.
So baloney.
You don't believe it?
But no, yes, but no, I'm glad that they're told. I'm surprised that that's the reason.
I'm surprised that they were even thinking about the, you know, I heard about that before where there's only certain people that can fix the machine. They have to be certified people and they just can't call anybody to come and fix it. Yeah.
That's so weird.
So if you two are on the road, you stop by McDonald's, check and see if their ice cream machines are working.
Okay. We're going to pass by a few McDonald's, I think.
And
I think so.
And if it isn't, you tell them that the president's thinking about them and help is on the way.
and
then that leads us to former President Donald Trump. There was quite an interesting thing this week, and if you haven't heard, the president on Tuesday started promoting a line of Bibles in partnership with country music star Lee Greenwood, whose song God Bless the USA is played at the former president's political rallies. Trump said in a video on Truth Social announcing the business deal that all Americans need a Bible in their homes, and I have many. It's my favorite book. It's a lot of people's favorite book. And so ubiquitous Christian holy text, of course, is the world's best-selling book. And churches are more often than happy to hand them out for free. The Bible is also free to read on a wide range of websites and apps, not to mention hotel rooms and other places. But this particular God Bless the USA Bible, which during this Holy Week is yours for the cost of $59.99, not including shipping and other fees. For that money, buyers will get a range of extra features not typically included in run-of-the-mill Bibles. So wait, there's more. The Trump Greenwood Bible, which is a King James translation, includes a copy of a, quote, a handwritten chorus to the Lee Greenwood hit, according to the website. It also includes the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Pledge of Allegiance. It's the only Bible endorsed by either Trump or Greenwood, the site proclaims. It adds, it's the only Bible inspired by America's most recognized patriotic anthem, God Bless the USA. The text is also printed in a large font that highlights the words of Jesus in red per the site. It's not immediately clear how much money Trump and Greenwood stood to make off the promotion, which comes during Holy Week, a sacred time for Christians.
Way to separate church and state, people. Way to separate church and state. God bless the U.S. What do you think about this, Mr. Non-USA?
It sounds all weird and funny to me.
Would you have a Bible with a Constitution and the Pledge of Allegiance in your
home? Not really.
It would be like the King of England promoting a Bible with God Save the King in it, along with other things. It's so...
ridiculous.
It is so strange. And when I first read it, I was like, there's no way during Holy Week that you would bring this crap to the forefront. I didn't even think that you could sell a Bible and call it pretty much your own.
And then it's my favorite book. I have several. No, you don't. Otherwise, you wouldn't lie all the time, because I shall not lie. It's in the Bible. I don't know. Quite a few number of times. I know for sure it's in the Ten Commandments. Like, come on, dude.
I'm just thinking that he's lucky he was, like, sitting inside when he said that.
I think it's his favorite book to keep everything level.
It's a goodly book.
It keeps all of his tables level in his gold mansion.
Yes. I have no idea, but that was the two most interesting things that I read this week that were, yeah. I don't even know what to say. But here's what I do say. The other thing that I read this week that was the most interesting thing. A North Texas man has changed his name and is running for U.S. president. He changed it to, I kid you not, his name is literally anybody else.
Literally,
first name. Anybody is his middle name, and else is his last name. So he needs a certain amount of signatures for the non-primary voters by May 13th to get his quirky name on the ballot. He is a North Texas school teacher and U.S. Army veteran, and he was formerly known as Dustin Eby. He said he's deeply unhappy with 2024 presidential candidates Joe Biden and Donald Trump, so he legally changed his name in January to make a point. He says America wants something different. We want something better. We deserve something better. He lives in North Richland Hills and teaches seventh grade math. Else said that he bought the domain literallyanybodyelse.com early last year and began designing T-shirts with the name. He admitted it all began as a joke, but said he got serious when he realized that both Joe Biden and Donald Trump would be back on the ballot. He says, I didn't change my name when it was a joke. I wouldn't have changed my name. My father-in-law puts it nicely that juice was not worth the squeeze. But he knows he faces near impossible odds, and getting his name on the ballot will be difficult. He needs a certain amount of signatures. Like I said, he needs a whopping 113,151 of registered voters who did not vote in the presidential primary. So else is encouraging voters to write in literally anybody else.
How funny. You know what? Where's Joe the Plumber? We need him. So we can have literally anybody else and Joe the Plumber.
That's almost like Who's On First.
Where's Abbott and Costello when you need him?
Log gone, and yeah, the great beyond. So yes, so those are a few of the things that I read. What we're going to do is that we are going to go to tonight's retro moment of the week before we kind of get to our main stories tonight. But before I do, I want to invite you once again to tune in this Sunday for a brand new 411 Lounge on Blog Talk Radio, where my guest will be the Dan Dangler. I'm glad you kids are back, because one of the things that I kind of mentioned a little bit with Dan, and she is known because she started out online as a Twitch streamer, still does, still is quite active on Twitch.
Nice.
And she pretty much went into doing OnlyFans and into the adult industry. And so she still does both. In her free time, she still loves playing video games on there. That's where she started. In her bio, it says that she holds the distinction of being the world's first female captain of the World Series of Warzone. She's played a lot of tournaments. And she got into the industry to fund and open her own animal sanctuary. She has rescued 7 dogs and loves spending time with them and farm animals. So, yeah.
Okay. Twitch is a good place to start.
I was going to say, do you kids play Warzone?
Warhammer?
I played Warzone once, maybe twice.
Warzone is outside of my genre, so I will go with no. I am a farming sim kind of gal.
Okay.
Farming, comma, sim, like two different genres. So it could be Minecraft, RPGs kind of thing. That's good.
Ah, gotcha. Because I did hear, and one of the things I think I'm going to be talking with her about, because you guys are more familiar with Twitch streaming and like the things that happen on there over time. And I know one of the things that kind of broke here over the last couple of days when it comes to Twitch was that they have, as of today, a new, what's the word I want to use, where they've kind of got a new rule in place where a lot of, where I think it was like showing intimate body parts for an extended amount of time.
Yeah, it's another part of the terms of service, the TOS. So they've got that. It's to stop soft porn, which people are going to do soft porn if they can, because that's money, because other people are gross.
But what do they mean, though, by prolonged period of time, though? So, I mean, are there people who are like, I mean, I don't know. Because there's some people who are just chesty, I guess, and they are online and they have a shirt on. I mean, are they going to, like, pull their feet? I mean,
yeah.
Or if they're like,
there's people that are on that are chesty, but then they're wearing pasties and string, and they're calling that a bikini.
Oh.
And they're wearing, you know, thongs or whatever, G-strings, and they're playing video games on their butt cheeks. She doesn't wear a G-string, does she? The one that does butt cheeks. She wears full underwear, does she?
Full underwear.
Yeah. So there's a Twitch streamer. Nobody get any ideas. I mean, if you want to go and spend your money on her, by all means, I'm not going to say anything. But my channel is much better. No, I'm kidding. So I'm joking, of course. But there is a Twitch streamer that has, like, green briefs, and she casts, like, a green screen and puts her video game basically on her butt cheeks that she plays. She's completely clothed, but they want to take her down for sure because that's considered, like, that's not the right sort. That's taking teenage boys and having them spend money on a girl that they're never going to be, that they want to, you know, do the nasty with, and it's like she knows exactly what she's doing, and bravo for her for thinking of it. But there's people like that on Twitch, and that's what they're trying to to try to make it more family friendly, and it's not, because you, the 18 and over tag is just, you have to agree that you're over 18. It's a click. Yeah. At some point, we have to stop babysitting people, but, you know, what do you do? Sorry, getting down off my soapbox.
I mean, it's pretty much, you got email, you have a mobile phone, you can have access to Twitch.
Gotcha. So what you're saying is that none of you kids would be doing that anytime soon.
I might be. I just need a good green shirt that's plain and a good green screen, like, update thing so that I could put the game on my shirt and make sure there's some cleavage. That's all I need. Don't even have to show my face. Welcome.
I have a green screen here. I'll ship it to you.
Okay.
Me in the background.
Take your shirt off.
There you go. Chris could be in the background. He could have his, like, he could have his arms folded, just like watching, like, I dare you. I dare you.
One of the point redeems is just somebody yelling, woo, take your shirt off. It'll be fine.
Right. Oh, man. Well, anyway, kids. Yeah. But that is Sunday night, so I hope that you guys are able to join me. Sunday night at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central for that show. Also, while I'm on it, I want to really thank my guest this past week, Brittany Cade, who was on the program. So many people have responded to the program. But I want to thank her for being on. She was so much fun to have on. And you can catch that show currently on here or on Spotify. So hope you have a chance to listen to it. So with that, Retro Moment of the Week's coming up. Couple of things in time for Easter. One, a PSA that I hope that you listen to. And then on the other end, we had a story here not too long ago about some issues with Facebook and with dating. It has now happened again. I don't know if time has changed, but now that we have Chris here, I'm kind of interested to get his point of view as well. We will discuss that. Huh?
It hasn't. It hasn't changed.
It hasn't. But, hey, kind of along the same lines, if not slightly different, but we'll discuss it, though, on the other end. And then, of course, we will also take a look at what's trending along with After Dark. But yeah, stay tuned. We're glad you're with us here on a Friday night with Page One, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, Dudley Rabbit here. You can shake your head, you can shake a leg, but now this Easter, you can shake an egg. It's the new fun way to color eggs with my Shake an Egg Easter Kit. Look, you get 6 packets of kooky coloring crystals, 6 shaker bags, my handy drying rack, 5 egg stands, plus 4 puppet mittens. To shake an egg, just dip a hard-boiled egg in water and put it in a bag. Now add the coloring crystals and shake. Let the eggs dry, then rinse with water. And look what a fabulous burst of color you've created. Use my Easter pals to show off the very best eggs. So look for Dudley's Shake an Egg, the new fun way to color eggs. And here's an adorable way to say Happy Easter to someone you love. It's Cuddly Dudley, a very huggable Easter surprise that'll be a real favorite all year long. Available at fine stores everywhere.
Charlie's the kind of a guy who likes to stay on top of things. Like your bumper. The last thing Fred expected last Thursday was some guy running a stop sign. The very last thing. Expect the unexpected. Whenever, wherever you drive, drive defensively. Watch out.
Easter's coming, bringing a treat. A Cadbury favorite, something you eat.
Cadbury's Easter cream egg.
Nothing else tastes anything like them. Cadbury's milk chocolate makes up the shell, rich cream of vanilla, and the most delicious golden candy yolk any egg ever had.
They're in the stores now, but they won't be long. Just until Easter, then they'll be gone.
Cadbury's Easter cream egg.
You can get them wherever you buy candy bars, but just until Easter.
You're listening to Page One.
Page One.
With LeVar and Mary. Your source for all the current topics and news you need to know. Here's LeVar and Mary.
Welcome back to Page One on this Friday night, March 29th, this Good Friday. Easter coming up in a couple of days. Cadbury cream eggs. Now, you know, I know someone personally that is a huge fan of Cadbury. And I'm glad that Chris is here because one of the things that they saw was it was a, I think it's only available in the UK. But it was this kind of big bowl, and it looked like it was nothing but just like the Cadbury, I don't know, it was kind of like, I forgot what it's called, but it was like a Cadbury type of cream, but I think it's only like available in the UK. but Cadbury's, I know, is pretty big in the UK, right?
Yeah, it's still a big thing over there.
It's a big thing. They brought... He brought me over a big Cadbury egg. And when I say big, this thing is huge. It's a basketball.
I know. Because it's like, you know, the good, I think when it was sold, it's going to bother me now exactly what it was, but it's like a huge, like, it looks like almost like it's a bowl of Cadbury cream. And I think it's, like I said, I was looking it up, and the only places where we could probably get it, I think it just had, like, yeah, I think it was just in the UK. So, if I can find it.
Is there
Huh?
I'm not sure if there is. We have the mini eggs. We have the big eggs. I mean, I don't think they've got anything else. We've got, like, the bunny rabbits from Linden.
I'll find it. I'll send it over. Because, yeah, it's not available here. I know if it were, we would... She would probably just go and buy it, but it's something else that's like from Cadbury and it's not even here. But yeah. But it's probably like one of his peeps. Hopefully we did not
I had to introduce him to peeps. I didn't make him eat them. But I did offer to like microwave them and make them huge.
Come on, you gotta go through the whole.
I said peeps, and he goes, "What the fuck are peeps?" Use my language. I'm sweary today, so I'm just like PSA warning. I'm gonna drop the F-bomb.
I used to have like a beep button, and I don't have one anymore.
I know, right?
But hey. Like I tell people, it's cool. We're all adults here. We're not kids.
I'm going to everyone. I'm going to probably accidentally drop the F-bomb. It happens.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. yes, we can all drop F-bombs tonight. It's a holy day. We can do that.
It's a holy day, right. It's a great day to travel.
Someone didn't give it up for Lent.
I gave it up for Lent. I did not.
Well, we have a repeat story, only because it has happened again. A Los Angeles man is suing multiple women, pretty much over negative posts that they allegedly wrote about him on social media, claiming that the messages are false and defamatory. Stuart Lucas Murray is accusing 10 women of defamation of character, sex-based discrimination, intentional infliction of emotional distress, libel, invasion of privacy, and more. of a defendant not yet named or identified could eventually be added to the suit. The lawsuit stems from posts and comments that the women are accused of writing in a Facebook group called Are We Dating the Same Guy? The private group included members who shared dating advice and warnings about men who are potentially harmful, dangerous, or untrustworthy. The group has specific location-based pages for cities across the U.S. Murray alleges that the women posted a variety of falsehoods about him, including that he is suspected of murder or involved in a murder case, that he has several domestic violence charges against him. He also claims that they said he had tried to extort money from women he dated, that he had sexually transmitted diseases, and that he lied about being an attorney. Murray claims all the allegations posted by the women on the group are completely false. One of the defendants, Olivia Berger, said that the majority of women Murray is suing had not met him in person. She claimed that some of the women named in the suit only made passing comments or reactions to posts about Murray or simply, quote, just like a post about him. Berger, however, was one of the few women who met him in person for a date after matching with him on a dating app, Tinder, it could be called Timber, back in 2021. Oh. You
now
had a comment? Yes, it's going to be Timber. During their date, Berger claimed that Murray ranted about conspiracy theories and other topics and appeared arrogant and smug. Overall, she felt they weren't fully compatible based on the difference of opinion. It was a typical bad date behavior, Berger said. I want to emphasize that I never had a date like this ever. When she shared her experience on the Facebook group, she said her statements were factual and they were based on our true experiences. And he found those comments and decided to come forth with the lawsuit. And according to the suit, he attempted to join that group to defend himself, but he was consistently denied entry. Another defendant said that she connected with him on the dating app Hinge, and she said right out of the gate, gave me his phone number and said, let's hang. I commented with one message saying bold move with a happy face, and then a barrage of harassing messages came afterwards. So she immediately blocked him and reported him. And other people came forward with their personal stories. In a statement to KTLA, Murray denied pretty much all allegations and comments made by the women. And a court hearing was held on Tuesday in which the women defended themselves. They're currently seeking legal representation and hope the media attention to their case will bring the right attorneys to them. It's not the first time, as we said. In January, a Chicago man filed a lawsuit against members of Are We Dating the Same Guy, also for defamation of character. So here we are again with the same thing. And once again, lawsuits based over allegations and he said, she said. I'm trying to remember what your stance was on this back in the day. But when it comes to dating, do we now have to be more careful with going online and pretty much kissing and telling? And is he right in putting out a lawsuit against those who allegedly slandered him? Your thoughts?
I would normally say ladies first, but this time, how about the non-American first? What do you think?
Yes.
To what?
To.
He's okay to bring the lawsuit? Should you be more careful with how you are online?
Both.
He's okay to bring the lawsuit up.
It depends on what they've done. I mean, if it's legit that they've done everything like this, then yeah, okay.
But he can't prove that they've done that yet.
Then no. Unless he's got a leg to stand on, he can't really take anyone to court.
Okay.
He needs to have physical evidence for that.
So I would say that if he sues them and all of these allegations, or if some turn out to be true, do they have a right to sue him back?
That I'd say no. If it comes to fruition and it does show that it's true, that there were people that were saying things that were inflammatory about him for no reason other than to be witchy beast,
yeah,
then no, I don't think so. However, because he's suing multiple people, it'd have to be, all of those people would have to be proven to be in that group of things. My opinion of it, let's start with being careful about dating online. Yes, that should have been number one. Everybody should be careful dating online. Also, if you're going to date online, don't lie about something that people can easily prove you are lying about. Don't do it. It's dumb. It does nothing but make you look like a lying sack of beef, okay? Like, it's just, why? Why would you lie like that? People are going to find out anyway. So, I mean, that's the point of lying. I get it, but still. With him bringing the suit, and I agree, unless he's got something that, other than defamation, I can say that you're ugly. That's my opinion. And if people go, he's ugly, not going to date him. Although that is defamation in a way, it's also my opinion. Prove to me he's not ugly. Like, prove to me he's not, I find him ugly. I said what I said. If they took my opinion, that's not on me. And I'm not saying don't date him because he's ugly. I'm just saying I found him creepy. He sent a bunch of, like, very creepy messages, and I had to block him. Everybody gets to take that with a grain of salt. So it's a very fine line on what people can do and what people can't. But to be careful online to date, yeah, that should be number one. That should always be number one. And no offense to the men out there, women have to be doubly as careful just because as soon as something comes up, if we get an itchy feeling in the back of our brains and we still go against it and go out on a date, it could end up really bad. And not saying that, like, oh, he lied really bad. I'm talking, like, physical really bad. Now he's a stalker really bad. It could be any one of those things. And men, too. I'm not saying that men shouldn't be careful. Men should be. Everyone should be. It kind of sucks all around that people are dishonest to the point where you have to be careful.
Okay. But now, well, it brings up my other question. So are sub-sites like this a good thing? Or can they become a little bit of a nuisance because now you have lawsuits flying, and this is not the first time, and I don't think it will be the last time, and now this could be a regular thing where someone feels that they're wronged in the court of public opinion and think that it is libel. They're going to be suing on every site in which people come out and say things about them.
I can see this webpage going away. Because it's not just, like, two girls being, you know, that I went to go see this guy, and when I ended up there, his name was actually Harry, and he wasn't a he. Or, hey, I went to go see this guy named Tim, and he said he was a lawyer, but he's actually, you know, an Amazon porch pirate, you know, or something. It's not just like sitting at a table or three or four or whatever. It's now a site where people can go. If they allow him to go, like they allow everyone to join, I think that would mitigate some of it, but then also that could maximize the lawsuits depending on what's going on. I get what it's supposed to be a safe space, but it's going to turn into a non-existent one because people are abusing it.
Here's my question for both of you. This is kind of almost like Yelp reviews, where if it's something that you really, really want it, and a few people say that it was a bad experience, but, you know, are you going to go off of what they're saying, or do you still go into it and you go into it with more open eyes?
You go into it with open eyes, for sure.
Okay.
Unless you've got physical evidence, you can't really do anything anyway. So.
Sorry about that. It's a Yelp review. If it's a Yelp review of a person, it's the same thing. You know, I go to the Yelp reviews and I look at the top reviews, I look at the negative reviews, and then I look at the ones in the middle and see what's going on. What's your most recent review? Everything's great, and then all of a sudden turns to crap? Did that happen? If it's everything's wonderful and or everything's horrible, and then a couple of bad reviews happen and you're in a good spot now, sure, cool with that too. I would go into it with open up unless there was a big red flag, like, this guy's stalking me still. Yeah, I don't want to deal with that. If everybody has their own instinct when it comes to people, and if it don't feel right, it don't feel right. You can't force right to happen. It either feels good or it doesn't. It either feels like it fits or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, then don't. That's all I can say. Like, be careful and trust your instincts. Everybody's out there looking for the one, and sometimes it's not the one that you have to look out for. It's everybody else.
Gotcha. Huh. Very interesting. So, on to a little bit of potpourri here for tonight. The grass may indeed be greener on the other side, or at least in 22 other countries around the world. But here in the United States, we have dropped to 23rd place in the annual World Happiness Report, which was released on Wednesday. It's the first time ever that the U.S. has been outside the top 20 list in the report's 12-year history. The drop in America's happiness score was due in part to a big drop in the well-being of young people. If you just look at the happiness of people under the age of 30, the U.S. actually ranked in 62nd place. For people over the age of 60, the U.S. came in 10th place. Canada, New Zealand, and Australia all have similarly large discrepancies, where young people are much less happy than older people. It's been a growing problem since 2010, according to the report. According to the summary of the report's findings, it says in comparing generations, those born before 1965 are on average happier than those born since 1980. Among millennials, evolution of one's own life drops with each year of age, while among boomers, life satisfaction increases with age. Now, while the U.S. slid down the list, countries in Central and Eastern Europe made big jumps the past year. Serbia and Bulgaria both jumped more than 60 spots in the world rankings. If you're wondering where you'll find the happiest people in the world, Finland.
Sweet.
Top the list yet again, according to the report. The country was followed by several of its northern European neighbors, Denmark, Iceland, and Sweden. They ranked second through fourth. Of the 143 countries evaluated, Afghanistan came in last. The year's report considers the three-year average of data from 2021 to 2023 to determine the rankings, and the World Happiness Report is put together with help from Gallup, the Oxford Well-Being Research Center, and the UN Sustainable Development Solutions Network. Things that go into and evaluating the country's happiness is psychology, economics, and sociology. Well, those are the experts that work together. From the nation's GDP to its life expectancy and citizens' perception of corruption. Are you surprised at the drop? Are you surprised at those that are toward the top? You're worldly people. I think that what you've seen... surprising or no?
Well, I already said when you said top, who's the happiest people, I said Sweden. So I was up in the top four already. Where's the UK on that?
I'm actually pulling up the report itself as we're talking right now. And according to this, well, first of all, my vision is not good enough.
And how is that on?
Actually, I've got it right now. Countries ranking by life evaluation. Finland, Denmark, Israel, the UK on life expectancy was 20th.
20th?
The one time in the U.S.
Yeah.
No, I'm not surprised. What it comes down to is I'm not surprised with the discrepancy. I'm also not surprised with the discrepancy or, like, the drop. I'm also not surprised with the discrepancy between younger and older generations. I I'd like to see a trend, maybe a trend graph, because I think that the older generations back then when it started, like, I think this is how it normally is. The older you get, the less upset you are, or the less I'm not happy here, because you've already kind of dug out your own place, you know, your own, this is where I belong, this is where I feel like home. So you start to build that as needed. And I think that's, I'd say that's pretty fair. What do you think? I'm surprised that you're higher than us.
I think that's a good call. I mean, I'm surprised that we're higher than you as well, to be honest. I mean, your roads are better. Weather's better in some places.
Yes, but corruption isn't.
True.
Yeah.
Healthcare isn't.
Yeah, I think it comes down to the corruption, because that, and I think the current political climate here, it's got everybody on edge. When you have everybody on edge, it pretty much, you know, that will erase anybody's happiness that is.
And it's hard, too, with inflation and economics. You're looking at things going, okay, this is supposed to be the best place to be, but why do I feel like everybody else and me are struggling, except for the people that are looking at the world going, oh, no, we're fine. No, we're not fine. We're not fine. Like, no, we're not fine. It's like a parent looking at a child with depression. The parent being the people in Washington, D.C. going, no, you're okay. Just pull up your, you know, pull up your diapers and wash the sand out of your vagina. The rest of the country is the kid with depression going, I'm not okay.
Wow.
So I'm not surprised. That's my feeling.
Okay. No. I was going to say that. Huh?
I am surprised at the UK.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really surprised as well. With everything going up, tax, inflation, your wages have gone up by like £1 per hour. But with everything else going up, that makes no difference, you know, because you're paying more out. It's the same everywhere, right? Since COVID and, you know, everything's gone up now.
True. Yeah.
Damn, toilet roll.
Yeah. No, it is definitely nervous times here.
I'm so excited! I'm so scared!
Pretty much. That's how it is right now.
Actually, get out in the front seat.
Right. Well, this comes from the yay or nay part of the potpourri section here. 7-Eleven. Or that
7-Eleven!
Yes, that great place where you guys go. They have announced a new lineup of flavored sparkling waters, and one of these drinks is not like the others. A hug with green apple, sweet orange, and lemon lime, a daring new flavor stood out on the list. Hot dog. In a press release, 7-Eleven said that the Big Bite Hot Dog Sparkling Water is inspired by one of its most popular eats, the Big Bite Hot Dog. The company claims the seltzer recreates the taste of biting into the hot dog in beverage form, ketchup and mustard included. Gone are the days of alternating bites of a hot dog with sips of a beverage. Now those on the go can swap the bun for bubbles, according to 7-Eleven. The company collaborated with art-inspired beverage brand Miracle Seltzer to develop the new 7-Eleven flavored drinks. Their executive vice president and chief marketing and sustainability officer, Melissa Jarrett, said that the seltzer lineup is for the, quote, the most adventurous of palates, and that the company is excited for customers to experience their favorite snack in a whole new form. While crafting flavors like lemon lime and sweet orange came more easily, their journey took an unexpected turn with the creation of Big Bite Hot Dog Sparkling Water, a daring flavor that pushes the boundaries of flavor innovation. There has been some skepticism that 7-Eleven will actually release the hot dog flavor because the company said it will release more information on its availability on Monday, which is April Fool's Day. In the meantime, you can find the rest of the 7-Eleven seltzer lineup and select 7-Eleven stores. If that is true, Yay or nay to hot? Huh?
No, hot dog water? No. Wait, sorry. I should let the guest go first. What do you think, my love?
It's hot dog water.
It's what?
Hot dog water.
What? One more time for the people of that, just in case they could hear you.
Hot dog water.
Was that a yay or a nay?
No.
Okay, there you go. No.
It's definitely a no for me, dog.
Yeah, it's not going to go over well.
Yeah.
No, I figured we would all be the same on that. And then, of course, a story that hits close to home for Chris, this from London. Would anyone want to be doing communications for the British royal family right now? Well, they're hiring. The royal household, responsible for supporting members of the British royal family, is seeking a communications assistant. The responsibilities for the role advertised online in recent days, including responding to media inquiries about the work of royal family members and producing social media updates. What seemed like an ordinary job posting gained huge online attention as the royal family, of course, faces a media crisis and is unable to shake the firestorm of conspiracy theories, especially regarding the health and whereabouts of Catherine, which we now know, and the Prince of Wales. The Princess of Wales. They don't need a communications assistant. They need a crisis communications specialist who can deliver difficult and sensitive messages, and they need to pay that person way more than this, according to Alana Arrington, who's a communications specialist in Virginia. The posted salary of $25,642.50 in pounds per year, which is about $32,500 here. Some joked that they would do the job unpaid just to find out what was going on amid a frenzy over the royal family. And at least 100 people have already applied for the position. While the job is posted for Buckingham Palace and not Kensington Palace, the official London residence of Prince William and Catherine, the posting notes that the royal communications team members promote the work role relevance and value of the royal family to a worldwide audience. Buckingham Palace on Thursday declined to offer any further details on the job posting. Interest is so high, by the way, that Britain's Privacy and Data Protection Watchdog said Wednesday that it's assessing a potential breach of everybody's medical records because of this. But according to the London-based job advertisement, key responsibilities of the communications assistant include assisting senior colleagues with proactive and reactive communications, facilitating media access to royal engagements at royal residencies and other locations, and providing logistical support to the media and the royal communications team. It also states that the individual will likely work on state visits, ceremonial events, and royal engagements. It will require some travel within the United Kingdom. And also, the pay for the 37.5-hour work week is more than the United Kingdom's typical national minimum wage, which would equate to about £20,300 per year. And I think one of the other things, too, is that the job advertisement boasts of a generous benefits package, including complimentary lunch on site at Buckingham Palace and at least 25 days annual leave. Employees are also offered a 20% discount at the Royal Collection Trust Shop, which sells myriad items, including traditional jams and marmalades. Would you be interested in a job?
Yeah, why not?
You would actually do that. You would be the communications person for the royal family.
But not for that kind of money. A little bit more would be nice. Not for 30 grand a year.
Do you get room and board at Buckingham Palace? I do it.
Imagine that on your resume. Where do you live?
Buckingham Palace.
What's your job? King's aide.
So,
I would totally do that.
There we go. I don't see nothing wrong with that. I would probably do that.
I would love to get a stipend for like room and board at Buckingham Palace and then clothing.
Full private health care, the whole shebang.
Yeah, I'd do it. Not for minimum wage, but I'd do it.
Yeah,
also, you get to rub elbows with the royals. So you might end up getting married to somebody that's, you know...
Half royal.
haughty tarty.
Well, that accent,
I'm sorry. Hoity toity. Posh.
Very posh.
Very posh.
Why do I see you? never mind. I wonder if you could have high tea there while you're there.
That would be fun. High tea at Buckingham Palace.
Oh, could you?
Do I get a Christmas gift?
Well, that would be just the normal high tea. It would be you have to go with the king and all the royal family to the Ritz, to this, to that, for high tea everywhere.
Yeah.
You know? And it would be free.
Wait, are they looking for people that can actually do Photoshop better than Princess Catherine or Catherine Princess of Wales?
I would think that would be a plus to the job, I'm sure.
I'm really good at Photoshop, I'm just saying. And I'm a chicky poo, so that means that it's like, you know, I could get close and not, like, be weird.
It's still be weird.
Also true.
But one more thing to the potpourri, which was not really intended, but not sure if all of you have heard. But McDonald's and Krispy Kreme are expanding their partnership to all of the Burger Chain's U.S. locations by the end of 2026. McDonald's first started testing selling Krispy Kreme donuts in late 2022, and they will more than double its distribution to reach McDonald's restaurants nationwide. It will roll out by the end of 2026, as we said. The rollout will start in the second half of this year, but it will take roughly 2.5 years as Krispy Kreme more than doubles the distribution to satisfy the partnership. For the duration of the agreement, McDonald's will be the exclusive fast food partner for Krispy Kreme. Shares of Krispy Kreme soared 39% on Tuesday. The stock was earlier on track for its best day ever. And
it's the best day ever.
Why do
Sorry.
I see? I see a About. I see a donut. I see a donut burger coming up.
Yeah, there's going to be a donut burger, or they're going to pull that donut chicken, whatever the hell that thing is.
Why has it taken 4 years for a taster to agree at McDonald's to say Krispy Kreme is the one?
Because it took them 4 years to figure out how to say Krispy Kreme at McDonald's.
The only thing I hope that this does not do, I hope that it does not push out the apple pie.
Yeah, the apple pie needs to stay.
See, in the UK, they have two. We have a chocolate apple pie, and we have an apple pie.
Why do you get a chocolate apple pie?
I don't mind if both of those stay.
McDonald's here is better. Bring the chocolate apple pie. Well, I am so upset.
I'm perfectly down with that. Bring the chocolate apple pie here, and let us have the McGriddle. Great.
Also,
can
you imagine Prince Charles having a Twitch channel? Sorry, that hit me, and I can't get that out of my head. I had to say it just once. Prince Charles, I wonder what his handle would be.
Charles Mark King,
Chucky. Oh, he's not Prince anymore. He's a king. I'm so sorry. King
yes.
Charles. Twitch channel. King
By the
Chucky.
Way, I think you'll be happy to know, too, that the bagel sandwiches will be making their way nationwide here within the next year.
That needs to happen.
In McDonald's.
I had
yes.
one the other day.
Ready?
No.
We have them already.
Yeah, you do. I don't.
And we have them here, too. And I had the steak and egg and cheese of the bagel.
I want bagel sandwich.
Egg, cheese, and sausage meat.
On a bagel. Yeah.
Yep.
Toasted.
Oh, man, that steak and egg on a bagel? Oh, it's
Dunkin' Donuts, and you know they get off my breakfast.
They give you the syrup as well to go inside or dip in. It's very nice.
Everything's very nice.
Very nice.
It's very nice. We're taking over because you talk about food right now. We're all like, we're hungry.
Oh, no. I love it. I mean, if I could do a whole thing on food, there's a lot of stuff on food this week, but I was saving some stories. As we go along, but we've got another type of hunger to talk about in regards to love and everything else with the After Dark segment. But I want to get real quick to what is trending. It's Friday night here in the States, so trending nationally here. Quite a few things. SmackDown is trending because it is the next to last week before WrestleMania, which is next weekend in Philadelphia. And I think next week, was it the 7th or the 8th, is the eclipse, the lunar eclipse?
The lunar eclipse is the 7th, isn't it?
7th or something, yeah.
It was last weekend? No, was that Wednesday?
No,
April?
It's next weekend.
It's next weekend.
Okay.
Next weekend. I know that they said that the best state to see it in is Texas. A lot of people traveling to Austin, where it will be one of the best places to see it. Jalen Brunson, basketball player, is trending tonight. He scored 61 points. Victor Wembanyama had 40 and 20 tonight, but Jalen Brunson had 61. But Victor Wembanyama, at the end of the game, because San Antonio beat the Knicks 130 to 126, Wembanyama threw the game ball into the crowd. Suffice to say, they were not too happy about that. NC State is also trending tonight because the Wolfpack is the lone double-digit seat remaining in the NCAA tournament as they advance to the first Elite Eight for them since 1986. They won tonight. Currently, right now, Duke and Houston are playing, as well as I know also there's a couple other games coming on. Also trending tonight, a little bit of some sad news here today. Came word that actor Louis Gossett Jr. passed away at the age of 87. Gossett Jr., the first African-American to win for a Best Supporting Actor back in 1982. A lot of other movies, was in Brutes. So many other movies. Accomplished actor. He was 87 years old. And then this evening, Lizzo was trending. Quite an interesting thing from her, because I don't know what set Lizzo off, but declared in a message that she didn't sign up for this blank blank. She has faced public scrutiny over the past year due to an ongoing harassment lawsuit, and she took to social media late this afternoon to share an emotional statement where she said that she was getting tired of putting up with being dragged by everyone in her life and on the internet. And she said that all she wants to do is to make music and make people happy and help the world be a little better than how she found it. But she's starting to feel that the world doesn't want her in it. And she continues saying that she's constantly up against the lies being told about her for clout and views. And she says, "I didn't sign up for this blank. I quit," with a peace out emoji. Billboard magazine reached out to Lizzo's team to confirm the validity of the statement. No response yet. So, quite an interesting. Oh, I thought you guys said something. So, yeah, so, no. That is some of the things that is trending this evening. So, yeah, a lot of news happening. But here's what we're going to do. We are going to get ourselves together here, because coming up in just a couple of moments, we will have tonight's, and I know Chris is looking forward to this, we will have tonight's After Dark, the return of After Dark. And then if we have a little bit of time, we have a couple of things from the Smoking Gun Files. So still a little bit of show left tonight. And what we'll do before we do anything is that we are going to go for one more quick retromercial. And then
you're giving him
will...
a chance to rest before you threaten him with After Dark? Come on, man.
Yes, because you know what? I felt bad, so it's not like I'm going to, like, jump right into After Dark. So
it's a dude
have...
thing, isn't it? You're being a nice guy because he's a dude.
No. Chris is our guest. So here's the thing. I think I'd like to be known as a person who is accommodating to our guests and is not going to bombard them with, like, a bunch of stuff. So, no, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give him a chance to kind of, like, prep himself. And that didn't sound good. But
that didn't sound any better. No, it didn't.
Why don't we just do that quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back on the other end. We'll be right back.
When it's time, shake time, out for some refreshments. To the coolest drink that's ever come to town. Dr. Pepper is a friendly pepper-upper. And it never, never, ever lets you down. When the party needs a friendly pepper-upper. Dr. Pepper is a drink to pass around. Dr. Pepper is a friendly pepper-upper. Never, ever let you down. Gather round and have a frosty Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper is the coolest drink in town. Dr. Pepper is the friendly pepper-upper. And it never, never, ever let you down.
Regular or king size?
Frosty, man. Frosty.
All right. So we are back. And before we even begin, as always, what we do on this program is that we will tell you that the following segment of this show is intended for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. So if you have little ones in the room and you're listening to the program tonight and you don't want them to hear anything from the After Dark segment, now is the time to get them out of the room. You stay. Just kids off somewhere. Anyway. So after dark tonight, we got quite a few topics. This was a tough week. I had a ton, but, of course we will stay with the ones in which I thought might be interesting. This from a study, and I don't know if this is true, but married couples communicate, according to this, as though they are talking to babies or dogs. According to a study published last month in the Journal of Applied Animal Behavior Science, the study authors recruited 46 Hungarian married people with a dog and an infant. Researchers took note of the participants' facial expressions and emotions while talking to their partner, child, and dog. Couples tend to talk to each other motherese, essentially baby talk, and use exaggerated facial expressions. The way parents talk to babies and each other shares a lot of similarities on how their facial expressions are changed. According to researcher Dua Kushutas from Itovos Nofen University in Hungary. Try saying that three times fast. The similarity could stem from the emotional closeness and bonding and help create a sincere and focused atmosphere when they talk. The study found that people talking to their dog and reading a nursery rhyme to their baby exhibited similarly pronounced facial muscle movements. They didn't display the same behavior while talking to strangers, the researchers found. Exaggerated facial expressions such as wide eyes, bared teeth, and raised eyebrows are used with babies and dogs so they can understand what is being said beyond language. Scientists believe exaggerated expressions are also a way to bond and to keep and hold someone's attention. So... is there some truth to the study?
Is there, sweetie?
Baby, oh. I mean, we do a lot, like, as if we're talking to babies, you know, but I don't know. There's a lot of truth in that.
The raised eyebrows and the exaggerated eyes, definitely, especially if you're trying to get some kind of point across, like, hey, like, what are you doing? I don't want to yell at you, but you're really driving me up the wall right now. So I could see that happening a lot, and then just shutting off that mode if you already have a dog or child. I don't think you shut it off. You just maintain it. So it just... your partner ends up getting it too. What do you think?
Yeah, like I said, like we have a lot that we do. the study is probably like 90% correct. I mean,
well, no, it's probably 100% correct. We just don't see it. There are scientists.
So what you're saying is that someone needs to be a fly on the wall to see it in order to confirm it.
Yes.
All right.
We're not in sync at all.
Yeah, well, we don't finish up the packages or anything, you know.
Yeah. Well, here is something quite interesting. Nearly half of all Australians believe that star sign compatibility is important when finding a romantic partner, according to new research. A Tinder study has revealed a staggering 42% of Australians turn to astrology to guide their love lives, while 30% of Gen Zers globally admit to checking a date's star sign before meeting up. Measured by who included their zodiac sign in their online dating profile, the study showed Leos were most likely to flex their star sign, but Virgos, Geminis, and Libras were the most likely to gain likes online. Despite astrology, star signs often being thought of as a female pursuit, a large proportion of males were also found to be proudly displaying their zodiac signs online. For male users of Tinder, the most advertised zodiacs were Leo, Scorpio, Cancer, Taurus, and Libra, while for female users it was Leo, Libra, Gemini, Virgo, and Taurus. Astrologer and author Matt Galea said that knowing even a little bit about astrology could make a big difference in a dating setting. It's not just what's going on cosmically. It's all about understanding what people of different signs tend to want, how to respond to that, and being able to forge more meaningful connections with your date, whatever their sign is. To bridge the gap of understanding for those who are not astrologically inclined, Tinder has released the Bloke's Guide to Astrology and Dating. The guide is designed to serve as a one-stop shop for men unsure how to navigate the world of astrology, especially given such a vast proportion of Australians consider it so important. Tinder Australia's Christy Dunn said that talking astrology on a date had the potential to be, quote, the perfect conversation starter. We know how important good profiles are, and adding interests and lifestyle choices are key. Zodiac is already a top five interest amongst both Aussie women and men, so using the stars could also be the perfect conversation and a definite profile enhancer. I will carefully go into this question. but do you think that one's astrology sign is important when talking?
Not really. I mean, if you can have a lot of things in common with somebody, even if they're not the same star sign. Like me and you, we're both Libras.
Yes, but that's also probably why we do what we do. The issue comes down to, if you were a Taurus and I was a Libra and I was into the star sign thing, I would go, hey, my last wreck of a relationship was with a Taurus. I think I'm going to just avoid those for now. Let's move on to somebody else. Do you think that's important?
To me, yes. I mean, if you know you've had a bad experience before, then you're going to avoid it like the plague.
Right. But every Taurus, that's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people. So just, yeah, I'm sorry.
That's 1/12 of the population.
You didn't make the cut. I'm sorry.
I don't know. It's going to... If you're an Aquarius, though, you're getting all the ladies, so it doesn't matter. No, I honestly, it really just depends on whether or not you like, if you, I'm going to say something so bad.
I mean, you're not going to go into a relationship and then you really like the guy, everything falls out well, date went fine, take him back, you ask him what your star sign is, oh, you're a Taurus, and then you're just going to end it just like that?
Some people would, yes. Would I? No, because I wouldn't get that far. I would. That would be the second question. So if that was
how
important,
old are you?
What's your star sign? I need to know. Age, star sign, what's your job, who's your political part? No, I'm just kidding. I am not that way.
Social
there are your papers.
Got it.
It just really depends. It depends. If you're into that, then yeah, go for it. If that's important to you, then go for it. Because what's going to happen is you're going to find somebody that's important to them too.
Mm-hmm.
And be true to who you are.
I've found and seen in the last few years that there are a lot more people who, I guess, because they don't really know what can guide them anymore in relationships, that a lot have turned to astrology for some sort of maybe celestial backing or secondary rationale, with the hopes that maybe that will help guide them to not swiping right, always either finding a bad person or finding a bad match. There's nothing wrong with it. But you just don't want to get too involved with it, because if you get too involved in it, you could wind up missing a compatible person.
Yeah.
If that
Unless that's what you're finding. Like, you're going to find somebody that's into what you're into, surprisingly. And then you're also going to find people that are into some of the things you're into, not into everything you're into, but then are willing to give that a go. So it's being open at that point. If you're open to star signs, you should be open to accepting differences as well.
Well, we started off pretty decent, and now we'll get to the part that makes us all sweat or nervous.
Only men.
Well, now we're going to talk about sex and why you may be bad at it. Sex and relationships.
I'm moving the phone closer to you this one because he needs to listen.
A sex and relationship psychotherapist, Randa Christopher, founder of the Therapy Yard UK-based counseling service, is sharing the six signs that you suck in the sack, from a shortage of swagger to a run-of-the-mill routine. She says that people can't be good in bed, relaxed, engaged, immersed, if they feel judged or emotionally unsafe. She told the Daily Mail that this week while offering half a dozen hints as to why there's gloom in your bedroom. Among some of the things was you lack confidence. She says that when you lack body confidence, you don't feel free to be open or spontaneous, so you're less responsive. You might insist on having sex in the dark or under the covers. It can help to focus on what you do like and what feels good. She advises firing up music or candles to set the mood, while Men's Journal recommends 11 techniques to boost self-esteem, such as preparing for falls and visualizing sex success. Another one is you're easily distracted. Good sex is about being... Huh?
Something shiny.
Yes, look. Look over there. Good sex is about being connected, losing yourself in the pleasure of it, not even thinking about your next move as if you're dancing together, she declares. Self suggests practicing mindfulness, training the brain to focus on the present every day and bringing that mindset to the bedroom. Another is that you're embarrassed to talk about sex with your partner. Vanessa Martin, who is the author of the 2023 book Sex Talks, The Five Conversations That Will Transform Your Love Life, recommends jump-starting the discussion with a compliment. She says it could be something really tame like, you look nice today, or your eyes are really beautiful. You can also offer some sort of compliment about the connection that you feel. She shared that sex struggles often come from poor communication. She notes that it's important to check in with your partner about their desires and continue to follow up, because those preferences can evolve over time. I'm going to stop right there at this moment. So far, does this seem like, not that no one in this room has any issues, but for those that we know that do, could those be potential pratfalls, and are the suggestions for help actually ones that could help, especially like the communication one? Because the communication one, to me, I think that's the one main thing that people are scared of, because they don't want to make it sound like they're looking for like a grade on a report card. So no one's going to sit there and constantly ask you, you know, how's things going? You like some of the stuff?
Give me a mark out of 10.
Right.
Oh, wait, that wasn't a question? I'm sorry. You opened that one up, dude. You totally opened that door. You said, give me a mark out of 10.
six and a half. Yes, communication, big deal. I think a healthy sexual, let's back up, a healthy intimate
that can help
love life.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be sexual. It could be intimate. There's plenty of people out there that are asexual, so they're not into the act of sex, but they want still intimacy, and intimacy involves communication. I think that's a big thing. How else are you supposed to know if your partner is asexual? You have to talk about it. You have to ask questions. Do you like doing this? Do you like being touched? Like, I do this. What will that do with you? Is that, you know, are you faking it? You know, things like that. I think that's a very important thing. The body confidence thing, I am not body confident at all, but because the communication is there, it is easier to forget about the body confidence and kind of push that aside and be like, dude ain't running away, so I'm thinking it's okay, you know? But yeah, being mindful, being in the moment, definitely. I don't know. What do you think? Like, this is more about men's performance than women. I'm thinking we didn't just lay there naked for some people. And
like,
it's like, hello, how are you?
Like you're saying, like, communication is the key. Like, if I touch in certain places, or, I don't know, if I just go and slap your ass or something.
Right.
And you don't like it.
Right.
I mean, how am I supposed to know that without communicating with that with you?
Yes.
You know, it's like, I don't know. It's one of those kind of, I would say gray area, but most people would at least communicate.
You would hope. But that's a big thing that people tend to be, and no, maybe it's a difference between the UK and the US, but I know a lot of people in the US kind of shy away from talking about sex because it sounds like that's all I want. Is sex. Now I'm, you know, I want to be a porn star. And no, just, I know what I like. And there's nothing wrong with knowing what you like and communicating that to your partner, I believe. Is that the same in the UK?
Yeah.
Like, people are afraid to talk about that?
Openly, like, if you're to your friends and stuff like that, then yeah. But if it's to your partner, then no. It should be open, like, to everything.
Uh-huh.
By the way, only Chris in his accent could say slap your ass and make it sound classy.
Say it one more time just to make it sound classy.
What, slap your ass or spank it?
I love that, love. But smack your ass.
By the way, about a week or so ago, I had pleasure once again to work on a program with Spontaneous Ecstasy, and one of the things we had talked with the gentleman who had took some cover photos for her years ago, and I don't know where he's from, but up came the topic of the gangbang that she did years ago, and he's like, oh yes, it was such an exquisite event, and he just like kept on talking, and I was like, only this guy could sit here and say that it was an exquisite event. It was a gangbang. And no one batted an eye. Like I said, if anybody else had caught this conversation, they would, what?
What an exquisitely terrific time.
Yes.
It was brilliant.
So, yes.
I didn't get in a heartbeat.
It's extraordinary.
It's extraordinary.
I digress. But continuing through the list, another thing, a Portuguese study published last year in the Journal of Sexual Medicine found that men tend to report higher levels of sexual boredom in long-term relationships compared to women. Well Plus Good has 5 tips for getting into a new groove, which includes scheduling sex and adding fantasy to the formula. The
scheduling
other thing was
sex?
Yeah, yeah.
Hi. Every Thursday after 2, except for the 4th Thursday of the month, okay? And then on that day, we'll do it at 2:45. We can schedule in a later time if those are not working.
Didn't we do a story? What, didn't we do a study, though, about couples who worked at home together doing, like, rendezvous and scheduling it for particular times of the day?
That's because they were working from home. That's different. Scheduling sex like normal human beings, like, that should be spontaneous. It should be like, hey, you look hot today. You're getting my engine going, and I would like to get your engine going. Let's meet in the middle kind of thing. That's what scheduling. If anything, scheduling sex allows you to have sex and have an extramarital affair and not...
Right. Spontaneous is supposed to be spontaneous. Like, look, I'm going upstairs in 5 minutes. I'll be naked. I'm ready. Spontaneous.
I'm sorry. We only have 5 minutes left of the program. But no, I think that would open up an area for being able to have an affair. If I know every Tuesday I'm going to be having sex with my wife at night, you know, okay, great, every Tuesday. So she's not going to worry about, Wednesday or Thursday, because those 2 days aren't on the schedule. So I can maybe have a late meeting that week. Why do I always pick out the bad things?
I don't know.
Remember, we only have 5 minutes. He's going upstairs and he's going to be naked. So,
well, sorry, you'll have to keep with the conversation while everything's going on. But anyway, we still got some time.
Sorry,
left this
buddy.
The other things on this list was your partner is just not that into it. Consent means both partners want sex equally, but there are many reasons why desire levels vary. If you prefer morning sex and your partner prefers at night, then you need to talk about this and find something that works for both. And then it says you feel shame.
It's called doing it in the afternoon. Moving on.
Yes.
Problem solved.
Is there a song like that? Oh, yeah.
Afternoon delight.
Yes. you feel shame if you don't perform. Sexual performance anxiety affects 9% to 25% of men, contributing to premature things happening.
No, mature. Very mature. Sorry, let's get with that. Sorry, keep going.
And 6 to 16% of women inhibiting sexual desire, a 2019 study found. They advise taking the pressure off by focusing on your own physical sensations instead of just your partner's enjoyment.
Brain hurt. That last one, I think we both don't agree with.
I mean, ideally, you'd at the same time, but if you one's enjoying more than the other, of course, it's going to just happen, but you don't, you know.
Yeah, but what I was saying was focus on you, not on your partner. You would think that focusing on your partner would help you focus on you.
Yeah.
We're both very confused and our brains hurt on that last one.
Like if I focused more on you than me, I'm not going to that quickly. I'm going to make sure that you are first.
Right. But if that's not happening, because I'm not into it right then.
Houston, we have a problem. And, if there's a problem with Houston, then...
There might be a problem with Cape Canaveral as well.
Yeah.
Because I like the Cape Canaveral.
Big problem. So the next thing here on the After Dark segment, the sex positions that people are most scared of. A healthy level of physical intimacy is an important foundation in most romantic relationships, with sexual exploration often being the gateway to a deeper sense of connection and trust. But physical intimacy can often be daunting for couples, no matter how long they've been together. Whether it's exploring untapped fantasies or new positions in the sheets, it can be tough to venture away from your tried and tested favorites. According to a new study by Super Drug Online Doctor, most couples are unfamiliar with and a little intimidated by many aspects of intimacy. Surveying over 1,000 men and women in both America and Europe, each of whom was in a relationship, The data reveals some surprising truths about our bedroom habits and preferences. Some of the positions people are somewhat scared to attempt are the ones they're more than comfortable recreating. The sexiest sex, the scariest sex acts on a scale of 1 to 5, American and European men and women, 4 groups in total, were surveyed about several anxiety-inducing sexual scenarios. Across the board, public sex was listed as the most intimidating sexual act, receiving a score of 3.2 from the European respondents and 3.7 from the American respondents. BDSM, anal, and rough sex all followed in the ranking, with oral sex being listed as the least intimidating act of the selection. Overall, sex acts such as bondage, S&M, and public sex were reported as considerably more anxiety-inducing than exploring new sex positions or incorporating sex toys in the bedroom. For male respondents, the top positions were found to be anal, oral sex, and standing 69, a bold statement considering the latter requires significant upper body strength. For women, For women, a different selection of sex positions topped the preferences, with missionary, spooning, and cowgirl all coming out on top. So which positions ranked higher among both? Yes. So which positions ranked highly among both men and women? 3 in particular polled almost equally between the genders when it came to position preference. Reverse cowgirl at 51.6 and 48.4%, tabletop at 53 and 47%, and legs up at 52 and 48%. Like any study, the findings of the survey must be viewed in light of their limitations, such as a reliance on self-reporting, a method often associated with exaggeration, selective memory, and telescoping. But there are several key findings that represent some polarizing preferences between the male and female respondents. For instance, when asked which positions people were least comfortable attempting, 54.6% of women responded with anal, while only 30.5% of men agreed. Likewise, when examining the percentage of preference for anal sex between men and women, the numbers came to 87.9% and 12.1% respectively, the most polarizing split. Similarly, 16.6% of women were not comfortable with standing sex, but only 7% of men responded in the same way. 1 in 10 respondents admitted to not attempting a new sex position in the last 6 years, while more claiming the quality of their sex life had not improved over time. While there was some variation in the responses from the European American participants all surveyed, generally agreed they could improve on their intimacy exploration as a whole. When asked about whether they would be interested in incorporating sex toys in the bedroom, more women, 58.9%, responded with yes than men at 41%. Regardless of experience, the data on yeah, not surprised. Your thoughts, and are you surprised by some of the numbers? I'm not surprised by the anal. That's always been the biggest,
change
between men. Here's the thing, though. Are you talking about anal men to women, as in men penetrating a woman? Or are you talking about anal, just anal penetration, period? Because, honestly, I don't think the number would be so high if it was men saying, yes, I would like to be penetrated.
I am pretty sure, and without a doubt, that this was men penetrating women.
I'm just shaking my head at this point. I'm not surprised. Let's go with not surprised. I am surprised with the reverse cowgirl, because that one you got to be flexible enough for, and I am not. My hips are not the way that I used to be.
It's standing
69? What the heck?
I was going to say, just the standing sex altogether, right? Unless you're the right height, or you're leaning up against a wall, maybe you're gonna have to have a wall thing. One leg in the air.
One leg? Really? Only one?
You only get one leg to stand on. That's it.
I don't want to stand.
It's either that or up against the wall, and I'm holding your weight.
That's what's supposed to happen, isn't that what standing sex is? I'm so confused.
No. The standing sex is where you are free from probably the wall and anything else, and you're just standing there. Let's see, the cleanest way to do this on radio.
I'm interested. Let's see how we do.
let's see how I get out of this one. So pretty much if you are both standing there, and let's say that Chris is behind you but holding your arms and it is nothing there, no chair, no nothing, that is the porn definition of the standing sex. Now, if you use a wall, now we're talking about propped, but it's still standing, but I think free flow standing is probably what they're talking about. Or, like Chris said, when you have one leg up and you're helping your partner, that can probably be...
Right. I mean, it's definitely uncomfortable. I can see why that...
You'd have to be... Yeah, you'd have to be the right... Like, there's a lot of things that line up.
The right height to do that.
There's a lot of things that have to line up correctly for that to be enjoyable.
Because what happens at one point is that if the female is like a tad taller, now she's got to kind of crouch down a little bit for the male to properly get some things in and to work, especially if he's about the same height, if not slightly taller. Now, if you're like a 6'5" guy and your girl is about 5'2", it's going to work just fine. There's not a lot of movement and bending, but if you have like equal size or if someone's like just slightly taller, there's going to be a lot of bending and somebody trying to like maneuver down so that you can kind of get into position. That's going to be a little hard.
Yeah, position becomes uncomfortable.
And just not as much fun, yeah. I mean, yeah. Worth it for the shot of it, but yeah, no. Do we have any anxiety-inducing stuff? I know I do. But it's not the same stuff that's on there.
Mm-hmm. I would think
mine
that...
Mine is trauma.
I'm surprised that somebody didn't have the one where you are, like, holding them up in the air, face-to-face. Yeah. But it's funny that you mentioned the reverse cowgirl, because I was speaking with somebody about sex when you're getting a little older. And I told her, I was like, it's funny because it seems as people get a little older, don't shoot the messenger. She actually agreed. But I said with women, it becomes a little bit harder with missionary or on top because your knees get a little bad over years.
She laughed and was like,
it's so true.
Mine is my hips, but that's thanks, Dad, for the arthritis. Mine is my hips. There's not as much flexibility in the hips to do some of the positions that I used to enjoy.
So does one use a heating pad before they or the sex slather?
Maybe we should try that. Like, we could do some warm-up.
Little icy hot massage before you
put TNS machines.
Yeah, just right before and after. Do some stretching. Make sure they're limber.
This is not to say that that's where that little
This is the time I wish we were on Twitch right now because his face is so flippin' red.
Those vibrating guns that they use.
The vibrating gun that can move from being a vibrating gun to help me with my muscle cramps to the vibrating gun for a different use. I think that would be fun. Like, we just move into, like, you are so red. I love it.
Then let's go and bring in, gadgets to the bedroom.
What's wrong with gadgets? Yeah. Take some heat off, man.
Wait, when you mean gadgets, do you mean sex toys or do you mean, like, other gadgets?
I mean, hey, if it needs to be full start, then it works. Like, if you need
I'm thinking gadgets. Now it's like, hey, I bought this plunger in. Let's see what happens.
You never know. If it works, it works.
Well, the suction does help, I guess.
Suction helps. Just depends on how much contact there is. How sucky it is. Oh, God. We're all going to hell. It's great. You are so red. I love it.
Well,
I love
we
it.
Tried. We tried.
Make you red. That's what I'm trying to do.
We have a few minutes left, so I guess beyond anything, I did promise you for some type of... There's so many. I'm going to save a few for next week.
Smoking gun! Smoking gun.
Well, I'm looking for... Well, here's a few. Well, speaking of sex toys, a manufacturer... A manufacturer of fantasy-themed sex toys has accused an upstart Brooklyn, New York firm of knocking off its distinctive designs, according to a federal lawsuit alleging that the defendant has infringed on copyrights for dildos such as Spritz the Sea Dragon and Tyson the Water Buffalo. In a March 20th complaint filed in the U.S. District Court in Arizona, Bad Dragon Enterprises contended its sculptural products have been illegally copied by Sensate, which is headquartered in a Coney Island warehouse and advertises that all its ethnically manufactured toys are made in Brooklyn. Bad Dragon, which noted that it has had significant commercial success in the adult toy field, alleged that Sensate has been selling the duplicate dildos through its website and other trade channels, including the recent AVN Adult Entertainment Expo in Las Vegas. The lawsuit identifies separate dildos that Bad Dragon claims have been copied and renamed by Sensate, which was incorporated in New York last year. The colorful silicone toys feature scales, tentacles, suction cups, and other design elements meant to mimic the genitalia of dragons, sea creatures, and other fantasy... I can't even get through it. Other fantastical characters. Some of the Bad Dragon products...
No, keep going.
Some of the Bad Dragon products that Sensei is accused of swiping are Kelvin the Ice Dragon, Stan the T-Rex, and Virgil the Drippy Dragon. Sensei has not been accused of pirating other Bad Dragon offerings like Jason the Demo Gorgon and Cuttlefish.
Gorgon!
I don't know. Gorgon and Cuttlefish the Chitaloo? I have no idea. Anyway, it's jacked
That's
up.
The Hulu.
The company is also seeking statutory damages.
I know, that's
disturbing that you know that, but it's up to $150,000 for each of the dildos in question.
Hulu is my favorite.
Yes. And, of course, we can't end this night without a Florida story. And this one gets even weirder. A couple was arrested on Saturday afternoon for having sex on the sidewalk in front of a Popeyes in plain view of passing motorists, according to Florida police. Responding to a report of lewd behavior, a sheriff's deputy located two suspects trysting on a patch of grass across from the Vero Beach restaurant, which is directly adjacent to U.S. Highway 1. According to arrest reports, the cops spotted Arnold Mackey, 70, making a thrusting motion while on top of April White, 44. When confronted by Deputy Eric Brashears around 2 o'clock, the duo began, quote, adjusting their shorts. Mackey, the cop noted, appeared flustered and was unable to fully pull up his shorts, which left something fully exposed to oncoming traffic. Claiming she had done nothing wrong while repeatedly struggling with the cop, calling him other obscenities as she sought to be restrained, White, who smelled of alcohol, was escorted to the ground, where police found four empty bottles of vodka and an unopened bottle of rum. A motorist who called 911 after spotting the duo said that he did a double take because he couldn't believe what he was seeing. The witnesses added that the female had her legs spread open and the male was inserting his fingers inside the female in full view of traffic. After being read his rights, Mackey reportedly said that it was, quote, not his intention to expose himself and that he had asked White to leave the side of the road, but she refused. Recognizing that he was in plain view of passing motorists, he said that he would apologize to the judge. Both White and Mackey were arrested for exposure of sexual organs, which is a misdemeanor in Florida. White was also charged with resisting arrest and disorderly intoxication. Both remain behind bars, with White's bond set at $7,000, and Mackey needs to post $5,000.
Wow.
Sugar daddy.
I guess they loved that chicken so much they had to do it in front of the place.
Love that chicken Popeye.
Yes. But with that, the clock on the wall is telling us that we are just about out of time. Are there any shout-outs from either one of you this week?
None from me.
Well, there is a birthday celebration, celebration of life. So we're going to go ahead and do that, even though I have the feeling that somebody doesn't want me to. But, so, although she has passed on, I think we should celebrate her birthday. a happy birthday to Mel. And then outside of that, like, if you're in the Vegas area and you know where I'm at and you want to join us for some bowling tomorrow, pop in. Other than that,
I go bowling.
You want to go bowling? Well, come on.
I bought a brand new bowling shirt, too.
There you go.
Oh, that's right. I got my bowling shirt. I need a bowling shirt for him. You need a bowling shirt.
I'm not sure if you can get one over
but
that.
I think that's it. Mm-hmm. I think that's it right now. And then happy, you know, Easter to those who celebrate. Happy Zombie Jesus Day to those who don't.
Yes, indeed. A very happy Easter to all of you, Chris. It's good seeing you again. Don't be a stranger.
No, definitely. It's been nice of you to have me.
Yes, and this time you're not up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, so you're actually
exactly.
Up at this time.
I can't believe it's still only 9 o'clock at night.
Yes. You're up at a decent hour with us, so no. So glad that you could join us again. So for all of you, thank you so much for listening. We will see you back here next Friday night. And in the meantime, as I said, don't forget to join me Easter night. Holy night. Dan Dangler will be at me. 411 Lounge, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central on Sunday. This upcoming Sunday, Easter night. Don't forget it. And, of course, you can always hear this show, among many others, on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Apple, Spotify. And until next we meet, for Chris, for Mary, I'm LaVar. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Easter. We'll see you next week. Take care of yourselves and each other. And thanks for listening.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
Thanks for listening to Page One. Don't forget to get the latest show info on Twitter at @NewsCommentBTR and add us as a podcast on Apple, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and other platforms where we can be found.